Last year we talked about Tfilas Arvos, and I want to talk about Tfilas Shacharis this time. Okay. The Gemara in Brachos learns that Avram is mitakin Tfilas Shacharis. And there's machlokas whether Tfilas keneged Tmidim Tiknum, right over there. Tfilas keneged Tmidim Tiknum or keneged Avos Tiknum. If it was Avos, so it was Avram Yitzhak Yaakov. Avram was Mutakin Shacharis, Yitzhak was Mutakin Mincha, and Yaakov was Mutakin Arvis. Last week we discussed Arvis. The source that Avram was Mutakin Shacharis is from the following pasuk: Vayashkin Avram Baboker El Makom Asher Amad Shem Pnei Hashem. Vayashkef Al Pnei Stone VaAmora VaAlkol Pnei Eretz Hakikar VaYar Vinei Alak Kitorah Artki Kitorah Kishan. That's the pasuk. It's after Avram prayed for Stone Va'amora the day before. He woke up the following morning after the Malachim went to the tree right over there. He woke up the following morning and he looked and he saw that the entire landscape was destroyed. So the Gemara Brachos says, Avram came to Shachar Shenemar Vayashkim Avram Baboker El Malkom Asher Amad Sham Vein Amida El Tfilah. The term Amida is a reference to Tfilah. Shenemar Vayamod Pinchas Vayifalel. There's a pasuk of Tehillim referring to what Pinchas did with Zimri. Vayamod Pinchas Vayifalel. So Amida is a reference to Tfilah. Okay. So from here we learn that Avram was attacking Tfilah Shachar. What's difficult about this source, this Gemara?
What did he say?
What did he say? We don't know what he said. We just know he davened. There was no set text for tefillah at that time. We don't know what he said. Why is this difficult?
We have another Gemara that.
Yeah, why?
You're taking an idea post Har Sinai from Pinchas
and your. Oh, that's such difficult ideas. I mean, even on the most simple level, the source makes no sense. You're asking two complicated questions, right? The question is as follows: Vayashkem Avram Boker Amakom Asher Amad Sham. Is Amad present tense or past tense? Past tense. In other words, the pasuk says Avram woke up early in the morning to the place where he Amad. Okay, it means tefillah. We're not going to question that Amad means tefillah. That's a separate question. But let's accept everything Gemara says. Amad means tefillah. He woke up in the morning and he went to the place where he davened yesterday. What time did he daven yesterday?
We don't know.
What?
We don't know.
Of course we know. The Malachim came kichom hayom, right? He fed them, right? At nightfall they went to Stone Va'amora. That's what it says. So what? When did he daven? Mincha. Mincha. Marav. Mincha. Not Shachos. Right? Avram tikein tfilos. Mincha tikein tfilos. Marav. The one thing he couldn't have been attacking was Shachos. Even assuming if we accept all the axioms of the Gemara, we still don't get the tfilos Shachos. Avram woke up in the morning and he went to the place where he davened yesterday in the afternoon, late afternoon, night. Okay? There's a sheet right over there. Okay, so this Gemara we all agree is incomprehensible? Okay, we all agree? Incomprehensible. Good. Okay. Alright. That's exactly where I wanted you. Right? It makes no sense. I read this Gemara 100 times, I never ever noticed this. Until you reflect on what it really says. And the problem is we don't take Limudin seriously. Well, it says impasa, kamida, tefila. Okay, fine, shach is wonderful. We don't reflect on the pasuk and it makes no sense. I'm going to ask two questions. First of all, how do we derive from this pasuk that Avram davened in the morning? Secondly, how do we derive, we know that Avram davened the previous afternoon when he paid for his stone v'amora, why don't we learn from there that Avram was mitakin tefilas mincha? Right? Even if he might have woken up the next morning and davened again, we don't know how the Gemara derives that, but we do know that he davened the previous day. So, before going on, I think it's important to clarify one issue. When the Gemara is trying to derive that Avram was metaken tefillah shachris, we discussed the two different paradigms of tefillah. There's a tefillah out of need, and there's a tefillah out of a sense of devotion, commitment, avodas Hashem. When the Gemara is looking for a source, that Avram davened, he davened not because he needed something. When you need something, it's if you need it in the morning, you daven in the morning. You need it at night, you daven at night. If he davened because it was morning, or because it was afternoon, or because it was night, that is the takana of Shachas Mincha Maariv that we're looking for. The previous day when he davened in the afternoon is because that's when he was told that Sdom Va'Amora would be destroyed. It had absolutely nothing to do with the time of day. When we know that by Yitzchak, that he davened, by Yater Yitzchak El Nochach Ishto, because they needed children, we don't try to figure out what time of day that was, and we don't try to learn from over there that Yitzchak was mitaken any tefillah. When it says that Yitzchak was, Le'is Erev, and he came Lasuach, Le'is Erev, from there we learn out that he was mitaken tefillas mincha. Because there was no specific need that Yitzchak had at that point, and according to Chazal, Sicha in Sicha El Tefillah. When it says that Abram, right, the previous day when he davened, because he was informed that Sdom Va'Amora would be destroyed, and he got into an entire lengthy debate and discussion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and about Sdom Va'Amora, that is not a takana of tefillah. Yeah.
So, basically on the logic, you just say that we don't say he was talking mincha ma'ariv, whichever one he was having, because that was a tefillah of need. However, the fact that he, by Asher and Rabboke, I'm not sure how much, he was the top of the place for tefillah, the fact that it gives us a time frame there, which he got up to do something, and he stood in the place of which he got before, that could be representing the fact that he did what he did last night. But the cause was Rabboke.
Yeah, I mean, you're jumping a little bit ahead, but I didn't yet get to how we derived that a comfort from Takum Shachris. First of all, the previous day is not what we're looking for. In other words, we have maybe a veiled reference to tefillah in the morning, but we have an explicit tefillah the previous afternoon. The previous afternoon is not what we're looking for. That's first of all. The previous afternoon is not at all what we're looking for, because that was a tefillah mitochei tzara. I think the key to understanding the Gemara Daf Chaf Vav and Beis, or rather not the key, I don't think the Gemara Daf Chaf Vav and Beis can possibly be understood without looking at another Gemara on Daf Vav and Beis, and that's source number 3. Amar Rabbi Chelbo Amar Rav Huna Kol HaKoveh Makom Tfilato Elokei Avraham BeEzrov. Anybody that's Koveh Makom for tefillah, the God of Avraham should help him. Ukeshemet, after he dies, you know what you say at his levaya, this wonderful person who was Koveh Makom Tfilasa, right? What do you say to him? You say, Ey Anav, what a wonderful, humble person. Ey Chasid, what a righteous person. Mitamidav Shel Avraham Avinu. He is one of the disciples of Avraham Avinu. V'Avraham Avinu minalim dekavah makom. How do we know that Avraham Avinu was koveh makom v'tfilaso? Dechsev. Anybody have a guess of what it's going to say? V'yashkem Avraham baboker el makom asha amad sham ve'en amida el tfilash ne'mar v'yamod pinchas v'yifalem. Okay? In other words, for whatever reason, and we're not going to discuss the reason right now, I hope hopefully it'll become clear later. For whatever reason, the Gemara understands why did Avram go specifically to that location where he davened the previous day. He could have gone to any place where you overlook and see Sdom Va'Amora. Why did he go to Makom Asher Amad Sham? The Gemara's answer is that he went there to daven again. That's why. Why did he go to his shul? Right? Yesterday he davened there. He davened there for a different reason. He davened there. That was the place where he spoke, where he had dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that had a certain significance to him. Right? Why did he go exactly to that location? Apparently, because Avraham Avinu was Koveh Makom Tfilaso, and he davened the next day as well. Right? Why did he daven the next day? There was no need. He davened the next day. He's not attacking Tfilas Shachris. Whether we accept it or don't accept it, whether it's a good reading of the parasha or not, at least let's try to figure out what Chazal are saying. Let's try to interpret the words. It's clear that Vavim Beis and Vavim Beis go hand in hand. That the Gemara is understanding Avram is a Koveh Makom Tfilaso, and therefore he goes back to that same location. Why? To daven again. That's the assumption of the Gemara of Vavim Beis, and that's the basis that the Gemara has to derive that Avraham Avinu was mitaken tefillah shachris. Okay, that's I didn't say anything yet. I just solved a problem that's at first glance insolvable. Okay, that I haven't said anything yet. what I really want to do is discuss this idea of Kovea Makom Tfilaso and what it might have to do with Tfilas Shachris of Avram. Because then, if we understand what the meaning behind it, I think we'll have a greater appreciation of what Chazal are doing and why they read the Pesukim this way. Okay, now, there are a number of different mefarshim that explain why or what the din of Kovea Makom Tfilaso is. We'll just take a quick summary. The Kesef Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yonah. The reason I quoted the Kesef Mishnah is because the Kesef Mishnah you have on Bar Ilan, and Rabbi Yonah you don't have Bar Ilan. So that's why you have the Kesef Mishnah over here. Harav Yonah Zal Kasav Talmid Rabbi Yonah, instead of the Rif in Brachos, you have Talmid Rabbi Yonah. Harav Yonah Zal Kasav Delo Itmar Hachi Bimekomos Beis HaKnesses Dekem Dekula Makom Tfila Ein LaHakbid Im Yoshe Pamim Bezavid Zo Upam Zavid Zo. You don't have to have a Makom Kavua in Shul according to Rabbi Yonah. But when you daven outside of shul is not a makom tefila. You know, within a shul, the entire shul is defined as a makom tefila. You can daven in shul wherever you want, as long as you don't sit on somebody else's lap, it's fine, right? But you can daven wherever you want. One day on the right side, one day on the left side, one day in Mizrach, one day in Marav, it's okay. You can daven wherever you want in shul. But when you're out of shul, you think it's right wherever you are to start davening. You can meet God wherever you want. Outside of shul, if you don't chas v'shalom make it to minyan one day, and no, that's not halacha l'maisa. If anybody in this room, everybody here makes minyan, but if somebody perhaps wouldn't make minyan, if he's sick one day, he should have a specific place in his room where he davens. It shouldn't be that, you know, I can go meet God wherever I want. But shul, which is a makom tefillah, you could daven wherever you want. That's Rabbeinu Yonah. The kolbo, hakoveh makom tefillah, so kevram ve'ezra pirush, sholech b'chol yom v'beit ha'kneset echad, v'ein holech pam bezer, pam bezer. You shouldn't go to the shtiblach one day and one day to the minyan in yeshiva, the next day to the minyan in Elul Shvut. Go to the same minyan every day. Don't go shul hopping, right? It shows shul's a supermarket. Go daven, take one minyan, the one that you like, daven there every day. Okay, that's what it says according to the Kolbo. Okay, so the Kolbo understands this differently than the Kesef Mishnah. Okay, the Rush says exactly the opposite of Rabbi Yonah. Lo by the name of Shei Ragil is followed by Knesset Achat. It's not like a kolbo that you have to daven in one shul. Avol inu is followed by Achat b'shneim kamot shapir dami against Rabbi Yonah. If you're in the shul, you can daven wherever you want. No. Davim b'shan perk til shachar am Rabbi Tanchum Rabbi Chia tzarachar liyachid la makom beveis haKnesses. You have to buy a seat in shul, right? Yeah, right. Okay, these are the three different... what's interesting is like nobody agrees with anybody, right? You have the Kolbo, you have Rabbeinu Yonah, you have the Rush, nobody's agreeing with anybody. You could talk about any one of these particular shitos, and I still don't understand what this has to do with the Gemara. In other words, if you say that it's not right to daven wherever you want, okay, so you need a makom tefillah, that's fine, I understand that. But would you say, this person is an anav, he's a chassid, you know, he's mitamidav shel Avram Avinu. Isn't the Gemara exaggerating a little bit? When a person dies and you go to his levaya, you know, the maspid is going to say, you know what, this guy, he's unbelievable. He's an anav, a chassid, and he was mitamidav shel Avram Avinu. That's what you say at his levaya. I mean, the Gemara seems to be giving a certain amount of significance to be kaveh makom tefillah, more than just decorum and shul, more than just so you shouldn't have a fight over seats. Right, so therefore everybody buys their seat and sits over there and then you know, hey, you're my chair. An anav, a chassid, and tamidav shel Avraham Avinu. Right? The problem here is not shul hopping, the problem here is not decorum in a shul, the problem here is not, you know, what is going on in the Gemara? Do any of the different mefarshim explain what the Gemara is really saying over here? In order to understand the Gemara, what I want to do is take a look at another agarata that appears on the same daf in Daf Avim and Beis in Brachos. Amar Rabbi Abin bar Rav Ada Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Kol haragil lavo lebei Knesset velo ba yom echad HaKadosh Baruch Hu hu mashgil bo. That somebody every day goes to shul and one day he didn't make it to shul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries to find out what happened. He interrogates him. Mashgil bo. Shnemar bim b'chem yirei Hashem shomea b'kol avdo ashalach ha-sheikhin ve'noga lo im d'dvar mitzvah halach. If he didn't come to shul because he was involved in a mitzvah, no galo, okay, the sun will shine for him. But if he didn't come for not a legitimate reason, ain't no galo. Yiftach b'shem Hashem. He calls the Amshech of the Pasuk. He should have had trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My time in Mishun Dehavle Yiftach b'shem Hashem lo batach. There will be no light for him because he should have trusted in God and he didn't trust in God. Okay? That means somebody didn't wake up in the morning, right? And it wasn't for a Dvar Mitzvah. He simply didn't set his clock right, or he stayed up late the previous night and he didn't wake up. But it wasn't for a Dvar Mitzvah, so he'll be shrouded in darkness because he didn't have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, does this Gemara make any sense? Right? Right?
It's Agadat.
Does this Agadat make any sense? Right? Agadat does have to make sense as well.
It doesn't talk about...
What?
It doesn't necessarily talk about normal people, about like women, because it says Kla'a Gila Lovi the Knesset.
Right? Somebody who usually comes and one day he didn't make it. Right. We're not talking about somebody, we're talking about a tzaddik who usually comes and one day he overslept, my gosh. He overslept one day. I've overslept. That's happened to me. I hope it's not the most terrible thing in the world. So I once heard a tape of Shira that Rav Salvechik gave on the Sagarata. I'm not sure I understood it because it was in Yiddish, but I think that what he said was as follows. He wanted to interpret this Gemara totally differently. That again, it's an Agarata, and therefore it's hinting at certain points, but it doesn't say them explicitly because that's the derech of Agarata. You're supposed to learn them, discover, and try to find out what they're really saying. And what he said is that the pasuk that the Gemara is referring to, Asher halach hasheichim ve'ein no galo, somebody who's walking in darkness and the sun is not shining for him. He said it's referring to somebody who didn't come to shul because he's depressed. He didn't come to shul because he's depressed. And somebody who doesn't come to shul because he's depressed, because he feels lonely, he's depressed, he has nobody to turn to. In other words, when you have nobody else to turn to, there's one person that you could turn to, and that's HaKadosh Baruch. If you didn't turn to HaKadosh Baruch in your depression, that shows a chisan in Amuna, that who do you turn to when everybody else? What's the rest of the pasuk? We're not talking about somebody who didn't wake up. That's not somebody who Hashem lo nogalo. We're talking about somebody who's chasheichin v'lo nogalo, who's walking the gates on others. A terrible thing happened to him. Somebody in the family is sick. You know, and he's depressed. He's upset. And because he's upset, he just doesn't get up in the morning. The first place you go to is shul. In situations like that. Right? In other words, what the Gemara here might be referring to, according to Salvechik, is that the idea of Ragil Lavo the Beit Knesset Kol Yom is indicative of a level of emunah. And if you don't go because of emotional reasons, if it's not a constant, that shows a chisam, a certain pagam in your avodat Hashem, in your emunah. If you didn't go because you didn't wake up, you were tired, you didn't feel so good that day, that's not so terrible. But if you didn't go because you're upset, because you're depressed, because you don't have the emotional koach to get up and go to shul because everybody's deserted you, well, the first place you should be going to shul, because there's nobody, no place else where God will listen to you or where anybody will listen to you. The only place that you listen to is in shul. I thought it was a very interesting suggestion. And it made me think about our Gemara as well as being Chaver Makom L'Tfilah. And what I want to suggest is that just like Ragel Lavo L'Tfilah Kol Yom, if you don't come one day, that might be a Pagam and a Moon. In other words, what the Gemara is saying, that a Kviyas Makom L'Tfilah is a physical expression of our constant devotion, which goes to the root of what tefillah is. When we daven, we're over the Hashem, and we're devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we daven as a way of serving God. And if one day we decide, okay, we're not going to serve God, Well, that reflects negatively on the way that we serve God. We only serve God when it's convenient for us. What kind of service is that? Let me maybe make a point stronger. I think that, let's go back, and I think if you want to really understand this Gemara, what we have to go back is, go back to the original context of Avraham Avinu praying for Sodom Va'amora, where, by the way, his nephew is in Sodom Va'amora, and he prays for Sodom Va'amora that they should be spared. Why he prayed for them and why he thought they should be spared even though they were evil, that's all a good question. But he prayed for them. 50 tzaddikim, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. And again, maybe tzaddikim because he felt that if there were some tzaddikim, maybe it's possible to turn them around. Whatever the reason is, he prayed for Sodom Amora, and he for a long time. Anochi Afa Ve'efer, and there's a lot of back and forth, and after an exhaustive tefillah and negotiations back and forth with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he finally felt that he had no more words. He had exhausted all possibilities that he had, and with hope he went back to sleep the next night, feeling that he had done all that he could possibly do, and he went to sleep. He woke up early the next morning, what happened? He knew that he went to sleep, but he didn't know which way things would turn. He knew that he had done all that he could possibly do, all that he could humanly do. And he woke up as early as he could in the morning, and he went to the same place that he was. He looked at it, and what did he see? Destruction. He saw a mushroom cloud over Sodom Va'amora. Nothing was left. That's all he saw. And what did he do, according to Chazal? He davened again. What would we have done? What are the possible human reactions that you could have? Yeah.
Something that indicated that your anointing in God was falsely put in consequence. Not a davened, but shown anger of some sort.
You could be angry. You could be angry. What else can you do? Feel that it's futile to daven. Feel that it's futile and not bother davening. Not be angry, just feel that it was just such a wasted effort. I put so much energy and so much effort, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't listen. And what Avraham Avinu does is he davens again. According to Chazal, this is their reading. Why did he go to that place? Because he davened again. What do they read into Avram's action? And again, I'm not saying this is explicit in the pasuk, but how they understood the pasuk, I think, tells us something about what our Avodas Hashem should be like. And what exactly was it that allowed Avram Avinu to daven again? First of all, the first thing that allowed him to daven again is Anochi. Avram Avinu is humble. And he knows Anochi Afar Ve'efer. And he knows that he might not understand everything, and that God, in inscrutable wisdom, understands the way the world should run better than him. He tried, it didn't work, and nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the opposite of what he wanted, and the first thing that Avraham does is he's Makabel, Olmach Shemayim. I understand. Fine, I accept. Anochi Afar Ve'efer, that's another. That's a another. The second thing that we see from here is the idea of the other thing that we see from here is that when we daven, first of all, our Rav Soloveitchik once said that we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shomea Tefillah. We never say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forced to accept everything that we daven for. But we believe that through tefillah is the way in which an avenue of communication is open between man and God. That when we talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens. Does that mean that he has to do everything that we ask? If Karov Hashem l'chol karav l'chol asher yikru ve'emet. When we cry out to God in earnesty, in a real, honest way, our emuna is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens. Is the conclusion, therefore, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to do what we want to do? What effects does that tefillah have? We don't know what effects that tefillah has. But our emuna is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shomea tefillah when it's kol sheikh u'vemet. In my lifetime, again, not always. Again, sometimes we daven with more kavana, sometimes we daven with less kavana. I think that, you know, Nachshon Waxman was taken captive, and we had an Atzeret Tefillah at the Kotel. You know, I don't recall a tefillah that was so fervent by everybody there at the Kotel. It was a real, real tefillah. And Nachshon Waxman was killed. What effect did that tefillah have? We have no idea. What other gzera did it prevent? We don't know. All those tears that were spilled, we don't know what effect it had. It didn't say Nachshon Waxman. What other effects we have? We don't know. But I believe that all those tefillahs were listened to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before Gush Katif was destroyed, I mean, the tefillah that you had there. You know, tefillah la'aniki ato, the girls crying and screaming, those were honest tefillah. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen, or did he just ignore all that? Our amun is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shomea tefillah. But just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is man b'chir ha'chavshis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has b'chir ha'chavshis as well. And for some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that Gush Katif had to be destroyed. For whatever reason, what the reason is irrelevant now. And that's not something I want to get into. But for whatever reason, that was something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that that's what has to be done. So does that mean that our tefillahs were ignored? Does that mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't accept our tefillah? So first of all, the first message is that it's anava. It's the humility, the human humility to accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, not man. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do what we requested does not mean that tefillah is pointless. But the koach to go ahead and daven again after your tefillahs were not listened to, that is that idea of righteousness, of echasid, that I am an Oved Hashem, and I am being Oved Hashem through tefillah. And therefore, despite the fact that yesterday my tefillahs were ignored, I go up and I daven again, a second time. That, I think, is the anav echasid. That righteousness that, despite the fact that my tefillahs were ignored, nevertheless, I want to be Oved Hashem again. In that very same place that I davened yesterday. In other words, let's ignore for a second how the Gemara derives what it derives. Let's try to understand what the Gemara is saying. That kovea makom tefilaso, that you have to be in a specific location, and I don't care at all whether it means outside of shul, in one shul, not two shuls, or inside shul. Kovea makom tefilaso is a way of expressing that consistency and constancy that we should have as Ovdei Hashem. That we can get up and daven even if yesterday our tefillahs were not answered. That no matter what happens in our life, and there will be plenty of ups and downs, every day we go to the same place and we daven. That's what tefillah should be. And to a certain extent, that's exactly what Shachris is, because Shachris is the first tefillah in the day that expresses the Tamid Shel Shachris, which we wake up, and the first thing that we do in the day, we don't do anything else, the first thing that we do in the day is we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That sense of I am an Oved Hashem, and the first thing that I do is serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu before I eat, before I go about my own personal needs, before I go to work. The first thing I do in the day is daven. That, I think, is the essence of what makes Tefillah Shachris unique. And therefore, when within the context of Tefillah Shachris, we develop this idea of being koveh makom tefilaso. Mincha is a davening that we do in the middle of the day. or a work, we daven at one place, where you come over a little early, you daven someplace else. But that kovea makmot tfilos, that routine, that constancy, that's something which is typical of shacharis, not only because we happen to live in the same place usually, but because it reflects what the essence of shacharis is and what makes shacharis unique beyond every other tefillah. So I think if we want to understand what Chazal are doing here with this pasuk, and how they're taking so much the pshuto shomikra of the context of Avram, of what he went through, and they're trying to instill it with religious meaning in how they view and how what they see as should be the way that we should be Oved Hashem as a paradigm and as a role model for us. So Chazal, take a look at this pasuk. Vayashkim Avram Aboker. Avram wakes up in the morning, not knowing what's going to happen. After probably tossing and turning all night, wakes up early in the morning. He gets up and he goes to the exact same place. Amakom Asher Amad Shem, and he went to that place. Why? To daven again, irrespective of what he saw. Despite the mushroom cloud, he went ahead and davened again. That's how Chazal are reading this. And from that perspective, HaKoveh HaMakom HaTfilaso is an extreme act of religious devotion and emotional commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that transcends the ups and downs of our daily lives and our problems. And the HaKoveh HaMakom HaTfilaso in a physical sense is simply a reflection of a much deeper religious constant commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Kol HaRaga Lava LeBeis Knesset is called Yom. They're coming day after day after day, and every day going to the same place. These two Gemaras converge to say no matter what happens, no matter how depressed you are, how upset you are, no matter what happened the previous day, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen to Shetfiz or not Tefillah, every day go to Shul, every day the same place. Every day, that sense of worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu no matter what. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always Shomea Tefillah, Karov Hashem Lecho, Karov Lecho Asher Yikru. Yeah. You had a question?
Yeah. What if we are able to reach the same conclusion if we were to repeal the entire Bakasha's concept altogether, in the sense that we believe that he will do what is right regardless of what we ask or not? If we were to just have the rest of the Tefillah, and had Bakashos absent, or that entire concept still be present? Like, what's the point of Bakashos in Tefillah if they were inconsequential? I understand the whole
I never said Bakashos was inconsequential. I don't think I've ever said that.
Wouldn't it be indicative of the fact that God would do what's right regardless of what we ask or not?
What you're asking is a different question, which, if you remind me, maybe I'll give a separate shiur about that. How does Tefillah help? Okay. How does tefillah help? Does tefillah have any effect at all? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do what he feels is right in any case, so does tefillah have any effect at all? I believe that tefillah does have an effect, but within certain parameters. It's not going to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu do what's out of those parameters, right? But within those parameters, it is going to have an effect. And sometimes those parameters are created in order that man should want to happen. I think I mentioned in a previous year that I mentioned a footnote. Haftiki Hashem Hashem. I think I mentioned it. Haftiki Hashem Kol Techonai. Did I mention it?
Yeah.
Right. That sometimes calamities happen in order that man should want to pray. In other words, we think that we pray in order to God should help us. And our Kaddish Baruch Hu sometimes creates situations so that we should pray. In other words, prayer is what's primary, and solving our problems is secondary. We feel that our needs are primary, and therefore we daven as a way to solve our needs. But prayer is primary. So sometimes there are things that we need in order to push man into turning to God. And obviously in those situations, prayer and tshuva could certainly help. So obviously there are parameters. There are things that are, again, maybe we have a different share about the difference between Gzeira and Tzara. Okay, I talked about Gzeira and Tzara, didn't I? Didn't I? Are you talking about Zera?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I'll have to remember, I'm going to forget. So you'll have to remind me to give a different show. Okay, let's see, next week I can't do it. Our Sabbatavis is on Thursday?
Yeah.
This Thursday?
Yeah.
All day? Do you want to have after Mincha is a problem because Mincha drags on a bit. Do you want to have a shiur Thursday? We can have a shiur. I need only a half hour. We can have a shiur at 12:30.
Sure.
Oh, we can have at 1. You're not going to eat on Thursday. We can have 1 o'clock. Why 12:30? Wow, that was brilliant. We can have it at 1 o'clock. We just have to find a room. I don't know if this one will be available, but we have to find a room. So at 1 o'clock, we'll have a shiur on Zeran. It's an important shiur. Okay.
We can do it a little closer to 1:15.
What?
We can do it a little closer to 1:15 because we have to worry at 12:30.
Okay. I don't mind.
1 o'clock.
What? When does he finish with the room?
Officially 1.
And where does he go this year?
Usually auditorium.
So we'll have the share in the auditorium right after the auditorium finishes.
Okay.
But remind me, I'll talk about it.